Welcome to your weekly radio broadcast, Seed of Life, a time for the preaching and teaching of the wholesome Word of God that by the grace of Jesus Christ will produce the desired result of righteousness in you unto the coming of the Lord. As you listen in today, may you find grace to work worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. God bless you.
Lord, we exalt you, we give you glory, we honor you this morning because you are worthy. You are worthy of all our praise. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your presence. We honor you this morning. Oh, thank you, Lord. You are God all by yourself. You are the good and the faithful one, the high and the lofty one, the mighty one of Israel. We worship you this morning. Thank you for the honor of your presence this morning. We thank you for visiting us and for living in our hearts. We are grateful. We thank you. We honor you this morning. Lift your hand, please, and just worship the Lord this morning. Worship your Maker this morning. He is worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy. Let's bless his name this morning. The Bible says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. Forget not his benefits. The Lord is good. We are alive by his mercy. His mercy is endured forever. His compassion never faileth. Lord, we give a praise. O immortal, invisible, the only wise God, we exalt you this morning. We bless you, we bless you. The one that says, heaven is your throne, the earth is your footstool. The almighty God, the all-knowing God, the all-powerful God. Thank you, our Father, our Maker. Thank you, thank you. The God that ruleth in the affairs of men, we worship you. Thank you, Jesus, the one that died for us, the one that lives for us. Thank you, Jesus. The Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world, Lord Jesus, we exalt you this morning. We exalt you. The Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. Holy Spirit, thank you for your presence. Oh, bless. Just bless his name this morning. Just worship him. Worship him. Worship him. Worship him. He is worthy. He is worthy of our praise. If not for his mercies, will have been consumed. For his mercies endure forever. Give him praise. The praise due unto his name this morning. Oh, we acknowledge your presence, Lord. We honor you this morning. We glorify your name. Amen, amen. Blessings, glory, dominion, majesty unto your name. Immortal, invisible, the only wise God. Thank you. We worship you this morning. We give a glory and we give a praise. Oh, blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Oh, blessed be your name. Thank you. Thank you. We're grateful. We're grateful. We're grateful. Be thou glorified in the midst of your church. Sete pronounce teli na marabalamas. Rele balosa teli baraba. Balegedos. Oh, glory be to your name, O God. Thank you. Rele nemos kata. Regeli arabazada li arabazada arabanabash. Oh, bless him. Bless him. Bless him be your name. Bless him be your name. Be magnified, O Lord. You are highly exalted.
And there is nothing, and there is nothing you can do.
Thank you.
As I do exactly what you plan to do, let every life be touched, let there be answers, solutions, revival, fire to burn in our hearts and our lives, and in your church, oh God, a new fire. Do exactly what you have in mind. We give you access, we give you permission, have your way. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Please sit down, give the Lord a big hand. Good morning. Hallelujah. Glad to be here this morning. Let me thank the pastor for the privilege to invite me. I'm honored to be here, and thank you so much, sir. Thank you for the great work you are doing. The Lord will bless his work in your hands in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hope you're having a great time. Well, it's nice to take a break from the hustle and bustle of life and just come still with the Lord. I've been asked to teach this morning on keep your flame burning. Tell your friend, keep your flame burning. One more time, keep your flame burning. I'm going to read three scriptures briefly as a foundation scripture. We're going to look at Romans 12:11. Romans 12:11. I read from the Amplified Translation of the Bible. Romans 12:11 from the Amplified. Romans 12:11 says, never lack in zeal and in earnest endeavor. Be aglow and burning with the Spirit. Be aglow and burning with the Spirit, serving the Lord. Never lack in zeal and in earnest endeavor. Be aglow and burning with the Spirit, serving the Lord. 2 Timothy 1:6. 2 Timothy 1:6, also from the Amplified. 2 Timothy 1:6, Paul talking to Timothy said, that's why I would remind you to stir up, that is, rekindle the embers of, fan the flame of, and keep burning the gracious gift of God, the inner fire that is in you. That's why I will remind you to stir up, rekindle the embers of, fan the flame of, and keep burning the gracious gift of God, the inner fire that is in you, by means of laying on of my hands with those of the elders. Psalm 104:4. The other part of it says, he makes his ministers flaming fire. He makes his ministers, his servants, flaming fires. Now, I usually like to start any teaching by defining the topic. Because sometimes if you don't define the topic, you might be working at cross purposes. I remember a very long time ago, I was in Canada to see one of my cousins who is married to a white woman. So we went out for a picnic. So we sat on the mat by the beach, and the wife asked me, do you like your food hot? Now, in my African mind, what does hot food mean? cold or hot? So I like it hot. But in her own mind, hot means pepper. So do you like it very hot? I said, yes, very hot. So when they gave me the food and I tasted it, and this is really hot. So I didn't want to disgrace myself and my cousin, so I have to eat the hot food like that. So since that time, I like to look at definitions. So what does keep the flame burning mean? So I'm not thinking of something else, you're thinking of something else. So what does keep the flame burning mean? Now let's look simple, but it's important that we define this thing so we can be on the same page. The word keep, you say, please keep my iPad or keep this water in the fridge. It means to allow to remain in a place or position. To allow in a place or position. Can you please put that speaker at the back? That is, you take it to the back, let it remain at the back. To allow something to remain in a place or position. That's what the word keep means. Or to continue in a certain position and avoid it from being shifted from to another position. To allow something to be in a particular position or a particular state or condition and prevent it from being moved from that position. If I say put the water in the freezer for 10 days so the water becomes iced for 10 days, it means for those 10 days you keep that water in the freezer, you keep it in a state of being iced. You allow it from prevent it from melting. So you allow that thing to be there, you don't allow it to be removed from that position. That's what it means to keep. Now, your, Y-O-U-R, what does that mean? It means you. The person being addressed or talked or spoken to is yours. So I say, your phone, I'm addressing you, that means it's yours. So your refers to the person being addressed to or spoken to. So keep your flame burning. The next word there is what? Talk to me. Flame. What does flame mean? Flame is a glowing part of fire. The glowing part of fire is the glowing part of fire. When you have a flame, that's the glowing part of a fire is the flame. And a synonym for the word flame is light. Flame is light. Flame is light. And in the Bible, Christians are referred to as light. Light is our present tense identity. Matthew 5:14 says, you are the light of the world. You are not going to be, you were not, but right now you are the light of the world. So your present tense identity is light. You are light. Tell your friend I'm light. Tell your friend I'm a flame. I am the light of the world. I'm a flame. So your present tense identity is light. So when we talk about flame, we are talking about you. Your flame, you. We're talking about you. Now if you look again at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, so we can establish that the word flame is light and light is hot. 2 Corinthians 6:14, very common scripture used in the mic most of the time, says, be not unequally yoked together with what? For what fellowship has righteousness with? So who is righteousness? Talk to me. Who is righteousness? Who is unrighteousness? So you see, what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion has light with darkness? So who is light? Talk to me. So who is light? You are light. What communion has light with darkness? So in the spirit, we are light. In the agenda of God, you are the light of the world. You are light. Unbelievers are darkness. So you are the light of the world. We're talking about flame. We are talking about you and I. That's what light means. You are the light of the world. Philippians 2:15. So flame is synonymous with light, and light refers to the Christian. Okay? Philippians 2:15, the Bible says, okay, I thought, forget what was on. Philippians 2:15 also talks about light. Okay, thank you. Philippians 2:15, that you may be blameless and harmless, the Son of God without rebuke, in the midst of great and barbarous nation, among whom you shine as what? So what are you? Talk to me, what are you? Tell your friend who you are this morning. Say it again. Ephesians 5:8. For you were sometimes darkness. Before you were darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So light refers to you and I. We are the light of the world. You and I are the light. We're talking about flame. Flame is synonymous with light. So we're talking about you and I. Okay? So flame refers to us. Refers to us. Refers to the Christian. Keep your flame burning. Now, the word burning means to be on fire. When someone is burning, that thing is on fire. It's on fire. It's very hot. It is glowing. It implies zeal. It implies passion. So something is burning. See, there's something burning. It's on fire. It's very hot. It's glowing. It implies zeal. It implies intensity. So when we talk about keep your flame burning, we can say we're looking at how to ensure or to allow or to sustain or retain our lives to be in a state where it is constantly hot without getting cool. In a state where our life keeps burning without cooling down. You know, we said keep means to allow someone in a state and not allow it to be reversed. Keep the water in the freezer so it can become iced. So you keep it in the freezer so it doesn't melt. So when we keep our flame, our lives burning, we're trying to ensure that our lives keeps burning without dying down. We then look at how we can ensure that our life constantly is burning, is constantly glowing, is constantly passionate, is constantly intense, without any reversal or backsliding. We are constantly hot. So we're looking at how we can be constantly burning. Every time we are burning, you wake up, you're burning, you go to work, you're burning, you're a student, you're burning, you work in your office, you're burning, you're a businessman, you're burning, you are constantly glowing. Your flame, your light is constantly burning, is constantly glowing. No time when we see that you're not glowing or burning or passionate or intense. Keep your flame burning. Keep your flame burning. And as Christians, and as Christian workers, as workers in the church, as Christians, and as ministers, we are ministers that are in the church or outside the church. If you're a student, you're a minister in the classroom. If you're a business, you're a minister in the marketplace. We are all ministers. God expects our life to be burning. He wants our light to be burning. When your life is burning, you are the light of the world. You lighten the world you find yourself. You lighten the business place. You lighten the church. You lighten your class because you are burning. You cannot ignore a burning light. You can't ignore a burning light. So anytime you find, anywhere you find yourself, you are constantly burning. You keep your flame burning. You keep your life burning. That's what the Bible says in Matthew 5:16 says, let your light, the word let means allow, permit. Allow your light. Let your light so shine. Don't let your light shine. It says, let it so shine. It gives you the extent of the shining. Permit your light to so shine, that is, to the extent that men will see your good works and glorify Father who is in heaven. Keep your flame burning. He wants your flame, your light to so burn that you become attractive and bring glory to God. Hallelujah. Let your light so shine. Shine to the extent that men will see the stuff you are made of and glorify God. Until men glorify God on your because of you, you've not started living. They're just existing. Only they look and say, ah! No wonder you're a Christian. Wow! No wonder you pray. God is good. The Bible says, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we will let them that dream. Then said they among the hidden, the Lord has done great things for them. Until men testify about your life, you have not begun. Then said we, the Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Keep your flame burning. Tell a friend, keep your flame burning. Say it with conviction, keep your flame burning. Say it as a command, keep your flame burning. So God expects us to keep burning every time. To keep burning every time. That's why if you look at our text, Romans 12:11 from the Amplified. Romans 12:11, it says, never lag in zeal and in earnest endeavor. Be aglow. Be aglow. Tell your friend, be aglow. Say it again, be aglow. Aglow means to be ablaze, to be on fire. Tell your friend, be on fire. Say it again, be on fire. Be on fire in your office. Be on fire in your business. Be on fire in church. Be on fire in your neighborhood. Be on fire. You are light. You must be on fire. You must be aglow. You must be set ablaze. Everywhere you go, we must see your light shining. Be aglow. Be on fire. Be burning. Be in a blaze. It says, be aglow. That's Romans 12:11 Amplified. Be aglow and burning with the Spirit, serving the Lord. God wants us to serve Him with fire. Hallelujah. With fire. Not with ice water. He wants us to serve Him with fire. Be aglow, burning with the Spirit, serving the Lord. King James says, be not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. We need to serve God with fervency, with fire, with a burning zeal, with passion, with intensity. That's how to serve God. We must be aglow, be ablaze, be fervent in serving God. Not lukewarm, not just managing, but we are on fire for the Lord. We are fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Tell your friend, I am fervent in spirit. Lift your right hand to me and say, Father, this morning, set me on fire again. Rekindle my fire again. Let fire burn in my spirit again. In the name of Jesus. He wants us to be aglow, to be ablaze, to burn with the Spirit, serving the Lord. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. But beloved, we live in times when life is tough. Life is rough. There are many factors militating against us from serving God with fervency. Many factors, the environment, situation, circumstances that is killing our fire. Making our fire not to shine as it ought to shine. We live in such times and we must be aware of the times we are living in. Because we are not aware of the times we are living in, the fire may not burn as it ought to. There might be no intensity with the fire. You have the fire, but the fire is flickering away. So we must understand the times we are living in. 2 Timothy 3:1 from the Amplified. I read Amplified. 2 Timothy 3:1 explains the times we are living in. We cannot ignore the times. We must factor the times in so that we can be effective as the fire of the Lord. 2 Timothy 3:1. Now, Amplified. Then, King James says, this know also. This what? So if you know chemistry, know this also. You know business, know this also. You know how to make money, know this also. You know the Bible, know this also. You know how to talk, know this also. Not just anything else, but know this also. In addition to what you know, this know also. If you don't know this, it's going to destroy what you already know. Amplified Bible says, but understand this. But understand this. You must understand this. Understand this. Understand the times we are living in. So he continues, understand that in the last days, we're in the last days, perilous times shall come. And it has come already. Perilous times shall come. It has come already. It says, time of great stress and trouble. Time of great stress and trouble. Hard to bear, hard to deal with. 2 Timothy 3:1 Amplified. No, but understand this, in the last days, perilous times shall come, time of great stress and trouble, hard to bear and hard to deal with. That is the season we are living in now. Perilous time, dangerous times, risky times, time of stress, time of trouble, hard to bear, hard to deal with. That is the season we are living in now. That is the last days. Life is rough. Life is tough. Things are difficult. There's so much stress. It's difficult to bear. It's not easy to come to church. It's not easy to make money. Life is just rough and tough. That is the season we are living in. And this is called the last days. That is where we are living in now. If you don't understand this also, it says this know also. If you don't know this also, there will be trouble. Your fire will not burn. This know also, in the last days, perilous time shall come. Time of stress and trouble, hard to bear, hard to deal with. And the devil has released spirits to ensure this prophecy comes to pass. So we have spirit of stress released into the world. There's so much stress. Spirit of difficulty. It is difficult to do things. Because the devil wants to ensure the Bible prophecy here is fulfilled. Marriages are going through stress. Businesses are stressed. Life is rough. Academic life is rough. As is on strike at the moment. Life is just, you plan that by a social time you will graduate. After now strikes, your graduation can't work. You have planned that in 2 years I will do you service, I will get married. Now that plan is destroyed because it is the last days, perilous times. If you don't know this also, it will lead to discouragement. To make your fire not to burn. This know also. You must know the season we are operating in. The end time. So, at the moment right now, the devil is ensuring that we cannot operate easily. That life is no longer easy. Life is rough and tough. That is the season we are operating in. So, now, for the Christian, it is now very inconvenient to serve God. Because I don't have money to go to church. It's now difficult for me to come to church because many things are fighting for my time. The end time is designed to make sure a fire doesn't burn. With legitimate excuses. That says, this know also. But God knows that we'll be alive in this time and season. He has made provision for us to still keep our flame burning, even when things are tough. As I say in 1 John 4:4, greater is he than he that's where? Say the greater one dwells inside me. Say it again, the greater one dwells inside me. So no matter what the devil does around, you have the greater one inside of you. No matter the adversity, the stress, the trouble, understand that the greater one dwells inside me. No matter what the devil bring it on. The greater one dwells inside me. I'm more than able to handle whatever you bring on. So I will keep my flame burning. 1 John 5:4, it says, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. No matter what the devil comes, we are designed to overcome. We are not of them that can be overcome. We are them that are designed to be overcomers. Whatever is born of God, once you are born of God, you are designed, you are equipped, you are empowered to overcome. No matter what the devil brings, the trouble, the stress, difficulty, whatever it brings, you know that you can overcome it. It's important that you understand this season. But men don't understand this also. So they have excuses not to keep their flame burning. Pastor, you must understand that the economy is bad. Pastor, understand, marriage is not working for me. This, no, also. That is the season. So, no matter the season, God wants us to shine. And what God wants us to do, he says in Isaiah 60 verse 1, arise and shine. Why? For your light is come. It's not going to come, it has already come. Arise and shine, for your light is come. Now, the Amplified amplifies that scripture in a way that is very interesting. So, King James says, arise and shine, for your light is come. Tell the friend, my light has come. Say it again, my light has come. One more time, my light has come. Isaiah 60 verse 1 from the Amplified. See what it says there. It explains it properly because in view of the season we are in. It says, arise from the depression and the prostration in which circumstances have kept you. Arise from the depression and prostration in which circumstances have kept you. Many people, they are depressed and prostrated because of circumstances. So their fire is not burning because of circumstances. I really want to, but. I want to serve God, but. I want to give to the building offering, but. Circumstances has gotten many to be depressed and prostrate. But it says, arise from the depression and the prostration in which circumstances have kept you. Rise to a new life. Shine. Be radiant with the glory of God, for your light has come. Say after me, Father, in the name of Jesus, this morning I disconnect myself from every circumstance, every situation, every stress, and every trouble that is hindering me from my flame, from my life, from my light, from burning. Tonight, or this morning, I declare, because I'm born of God, I'm an overcomer. I overcome every adversity, every sickness, every opposition that stand against me. I decree, I'm born of God. Therefore, I'm an overcomer. In the name of Jesus. Give Lord a big hand this morning. So we must understand the season we're in. That's why what we're going to look at this morning, two things we're going to look at this morning. We're going to look at flame boosters and flame quenchers. What we need to boost our flame and what we must avoid to not for our flame not to be quenched. Flame boosters and flame quenchers. Flame boosters. Because of the circumstances we are living in, we must put some boosters in place to ensure our flame keeps burning. Flame boosters. A flame does not exist on its own. A flame is a consequence of three things: gas, air, and combustion. So if you see a flame, it is a result of the consequence of the action of gas, air, and combustion. So, for your life to burn, for your flame to keep burning, for your life to keep burning, it must be the consequence of certain things. A flame cannot just burn without gas, air, and combustion. Your fire, your flame, your life cannot just burn without certain components being in place. That's what looking at flame boosters, some things that will boost our flame, will make sure that there's air, gas, and combustion in our life to keep it burning. Very important. Because, you know, God wants us not just to burn and quench, but to keep burning. That's what the Bible says, Proverbs 4:18 says, the path of the just is as a shining light that shines brighter and brighter until the perfect day. Proverbs 18. But message says, the longer I live, the brighter I shine. That's message. The longer I live, the brighter I shine. But he then says, the part of the just as shining light that shines better than the perfect day. He says, the longer I live. See, after the longer I live, what happens to you? You know what that means? That means in your life, the law of diminishing return is canceled. No more diminishing returns. That law is canceling your life permanently, because the longer you live, the brighter you shine. The older you get, the better you become. Are you following me? You must understand this sense. Understand this sense. We are not of them that go down. Sometimes we fall. The Bible says the righteous may fall 7 times. Each time he gets up. We are not designed to stay down. We are designed to stand up when we fall down. If you are down this morning, today, I command you to get up in the name of Jesus. Maybe your finances is down. I command your finances to rise in the name of Jesus. Marriage might not be working, but today, because you have honored God in this retreat, your marriage is revived in the name of Jesus. Flame boosters. Some things we must do to boost our fire, to keep it burning. To keep it burning. If you have a gas cooker, you must constantly have gas to keep the fire burning. Once the gas is reducing and reducing, the flame will reduce and reduce. So we need to know what we need to do to boost our fire. Because, beloved, whatever you are doing, you are using the fire. You are in your office, you are using the fire. You are in your house, fire. You are in your business, fire. You are in your school, fire. If you are not careful and you don't boost it, you don't increase your gas. You don't change your gas. Don't replace your gas. Just realize that you are cooking in the kitchen, you are watching Arsenal and Man U. By the time it's half time, your rice is soggy. And your team has also lost. Double jeopardy. Flame boosters. Number one. And this is the foundation. Let's read the scripture. 2 Corinthians 5:14-15. 2 Corinthians 5:14-15. The first flame booster is right motive. Everybody say right motive. Say it again, right motive. Look at it. For the love of Christ constrains us. The word constrain means compels, leaves us with no option. The love of Christ constrains us. Now understand this scripture very well, because this is the foundation. The love of Christ compels, leaves us with no choice, constrains us, because we don't judge. The word judge there means we have come to a conclusion. We have concluded based on evidence. We have decided based on evidence. So the love of Christ constrained us because we have thus judged. What did we judge? That if one died for all, then we are all dead. So one died, Christ, for all. That means everybody's dead. Christ took our place on the cross. So we're trying to make a judgment here. So next verse 15, it says, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto, but what? Unto him who died for them and rose again. It's simple. If somebody says, I want to die for you, and he dies for you, the least you owe him is to live for him that died for you. You must come to that conclusion. It says, the love of Christ constrains us that if one died for all were dead. And common sense simply means, if he died for me, all I can do for him in return is to live for him. So, the motive for our Christian life is our love for Christ. If he died for you, you must burn for him. Motive. If you get this motive, you will constantly burn for the Lord. You will serve God fervently in the spirit, because he died for us on the cross.
He took our place. He took our place. The best, that's why we just say we give our life to Christ. What does that mean? Say we give our life to Christ. Because that's all you have. You want to give God money? You can't give God anything. All you have is your life. That's why we give our life to Christ. We give it to Christ. He's our Savior and our Lord. So he said, if we understand this, we know that that's it. The love of God constrains. It is forcing us, compelling us, leaving us with no choice. So I have no choice but to burn for the Lord. I may not have money, but God's love constrains me to burn for him. I might be called a fool, but love of God constrains, compels me. It may not be convenient, but the love of God constrains me, compels me. Right motive. If you have that motive, that is the gas that powers your flame to burn. Right motive. What is your motive for serving God? For many people, they have motives apart from the love of Christ. A judge. Show off. My motive is to show off. Show off my skill. Show off the new scriptures I've crammed. Show off my spirituality. Show off my dress. Show off my shoe. That's my motive. Some people's motive is attention. I can get attention when I serve. The love of God does not constrain them. They don't see that, if he died, I have no choice but to live for him. Some, their motive is bribery. They want to bribe God. So I'm an usher, so I tell God, I've been standing for 3 hours in the service, you must hear my prayer. Bribery, trying to bribe God. Others is competition. Others is that the pastor can see them. Others, they want a reward. But it says the love of God is compelling. Leaves us with no choice but to live for him. To live for him is to keep your flame burning. To keep your flame burning. You know, the scary part of this is that God will judge our motives. Nobody knows the motive why we do what we do. Only we and God know. And our motives will be judged. 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15. Very scary scripture. Right motive. Right motive will keep your flame burning. You know, I just have to be burning for the Lord. I must be farming this way, serving the Lord. Look at verse 14 and 15. It says, for the Lord... Sorry, I said 14 and 15? Okay. Verse 9 to 11. 9 to 11. 9 to 11. 9 to 11. Just flip back a little bit and see what the Bible says about judgment. Wherefore we labor, serving God, that whether present or absent, we will be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body. So go and appear before Christ. Whatever we have done will be judged. But look at chapter 3, verse 9 to 15. That explains better for us. 1 Corinthians 3, 9 to 15. 1 Corinthians 3, 9 to 15. Very important. Motive. You must be compelled by the love of Christ. If he died for me, I must live for him. If you know what it means to be on the cross, it's not a pleasant thing. It was the most shameful death anybody could have. That is like this firing squad in our nation, a firing squad. The most shameful. You know, those days, you know, when armed robbery was still very rampant, the military regime, when they arrest an armed robber, is convicted, they go and execute him in his village. Were you still alive at that time? Oh, yes, you're too young to know. When they catch an armed robber, the court convicts him, they go and execute him in his village. Why? So the whole village will know their son has been disgraced. Christ was executed the most shameful death. We deserve to die. He died in our place. You must understand the cross. He was put to shame so we might not be put to shame. He died young, like 3.5 years old, so don't have to die young. He was abandoned by everybody, so we don't have to be abandoned. He was wounded for our transgressions. By his stripes on the cross, we are healed. The Bible says he was made sin so we can become righteousness of God. He took our place. We must thus judge that if one died for all we are dead. This love constrains us to live for Christ. So in my business, living for Christ. In my school, living for Christ. Everywhere, I'm living for Christ because the love of God is compelling me. Look at what it says. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. Verse 10. According to the grace which is given unto me, the wise master builder, I've laid the foundation under my builder thereon. But let every man be careful. Let every man take heed. How? Not what. Not what. How? Motive. How he builds thereupon. Motive. Verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay that which is Jesus Christ. Verse 12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, that talks of what? Quality. Quality. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. What they're saying there is, by fire, okay. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Motive and quality. The love of Christ compels us to live for him. So I don't live for myself. I live for Christ. I don't live for my family. I live for Christ. In living for Christ, other things will follow. That says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. Right motive. That is a foundation that keeps your flame burning. Right motive. Number two. The second booster is the Holy Spirit. Everybody say the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, you cannot burn for too long. The Holy Spirit. You need an effective relationship with the Holy Ghost. Romans 12:11 that we read earlier. Be not slothful in business, but fervent in spirit. You need the Holy Ghost to burn for the Lord. You need the Holy Ghost to burn for the Lord. Even Jesus himself needed the Holy Ghost. Luke 4:18. It says, Jesus spoke and said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and has anointed me. You need the Holy Ghost for you to burn. To keep your flame burning, you need the Holy Ghost. You need the Holy Ghost. You need the Holy Ghost. Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good. For you to go about doing good, you need the Holy Ghost. He was anointed with the Holy Ghost and power. We need the Holy Ghost to keep burning. We need the Holy Ghost to keep burning. Acts 1:8. Jesus said in Acts 1:8, and you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. The Holy Ghost is a booster for our flame to keep burning. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So you need the power of the Holy Ghost to be able to keep your flame burning. Very important. We need the Holy Ghost. Tell a friend, I need the Holy Ghost. Say it again, I need the Holy Ghost. Say, Holy Ghost, I need you this morning. I need you to help me this morning. Is the Fatu as our helper. He's one that will help you to burn for him. Without him, you can do nothing. We need the Holy Ghost to help us to keep our flame burning. And the Holy Ghost, you need to ask Him to help you. Holy Spirit, help me in my business. Help me in my career. Help me as I sing. Help me as I pray. Just as I go to my class. He's your helper. He's your helper. He wants to help you. John 14:26. John 14:26 is our helper. John 14:26 says, howbeit when the Spirit of truth is come, He will guide you into all truth. He wants to guide you. Guide you to do business. Guide you who to marry. Guide you what to preach. Guide you how to make money. When the Spirit of truth is come, 14:26. Oh. Okay, that's 14. Give me verse, let me see verse 13. 14:13. What does it say in verse 13? Okay, let me just quote from my head. I'm not sure if the scripture is on. It says, when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide into all truth. He will not speak of Himself. That which He has shall He speak. He will show you things to come. He is our helper. We must ask Him to help you. Say, Holy Spirit, help me. Ask one more time. Holy Spirit, help me. He's one that will help us to burn. Oh, thank you. John 16:13. Thank you. Happy when the Spirit of truth has come, He will guide into all truth. All truth. No more error, no more mistakes. He will speak of things, He will not speak of Himself. Whatever I hear that shall He speak, He will show you things to come. Show you things to come. Number three. Prayer. Everybody say prayer. Say it again. James 5:16. James 5:16. Prayer. The effectual, fervent prayer, that's the latter part, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man does what? But the Amplified Bible says the effectual, heartfelt prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in his working. The effectual, heartfelt prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in his working. That's what they say. A prayerless Christian is what? A powerless Christian. Prayer produces power for your flame to burn. Very important. Very important. Prayer produces the power for your flame to burn. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So let's look at briefly three types of prayers we must pray to keep our flame burning. The first type of prayer is praying in tongues. Praying in tongues. 1 Corinthians 14:4. Praying in tongues. Praying in tongues. Because if you understand these things, you know what you need to do to boost your fire. Keep your fire burning. Praying in tongues. 14:4. He that speaks an unknown tongue does what? That word edify is a construction that means he builds himself up. He that prays an unknown tongue edifies himself. Builds himself up. You build yourself up by praying in tongues. Jude has just one chapter, verse 20. Jude 20 says, but ye beloved, building up yourselves. Jude 20, build up yourself in your most holy faith, praying the Holy Ghost. And 5 Bible says, but ye beloved, pray in the Holy Ghost, rising higher and higher like an edifice. So when you pray in tongues, you're building up your spiritual muscle. Praying in tongues is one major booster to keep your flame burning. You must spend time to pray in tongues daily. And that's why coming to church is important. It's easier to pray in tongues in church than in your house. Until you master the art. So tongues is important if you want to keep your flame burning. Why? Because you must go to 1 Corinthians 14:2 now. 1 Corinthians 14:2. Because sometimes in our lives, because of the adversity of the time, perilous times, hard to bear, hard to deal with, you don't know what to pray in your normal language, in English, Yoruba, Efik, German. You don't know what to pray because life is just rough and tough. But you pray in tongues. 1 Corinthians 14:2 says, he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto who? Why? For no man understands him. How be it in the spirit? How be it in the spirit? spirit, he speaketh mysteries. What is this saying? When I pray in tongues, I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to God. It doesn't make sense, you don't know what I'm talking about, but in the realm of the spirit, I'm speaking. Mystery means divine secrets. So when I face adversity of a time, business is not working, marriage is not working, I've gone for cancer, it's not working, it says you must now pray in tongues. Malito mbregudagi kabradi koria. I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to God. You don't understand what I'm talking about, but in the spirit, I'm speaking divine secret about my marital problem. Are you following me? I'm speaking divine secret about my business problem, because the problem you cannot solve is a mystery. The problem you cannot solve is a mystery. It's become mysterious. If you misplace your car key now, you look everywhere, you can't see it, it has become a mystery. I left it here now. So where is it? I don't know. Go and check your room. You check everything. You can't see it. It has become a mystery. It says sometimes life can be a mystery. Perilous times, time of stress and trouble, hard to bear, hard to deal with. You just don't know what to do. At that time, you don't have time for any fire. But it says, if you understand tongues, you pray in tongues, you talk to God in the spirit, and you are speaking the answer to the problem. Are you following me? So there's no money. If you want to expand the business, there's no money. Rent is used, there's no money. You've gone everywhere, no money. You just say, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. My fire must keep burning. This time will not see my serving God. Oh, I need to pray in tongues about it. I need to know the answer to this thing. You just say, Malengredos kete keri barakasa takari arakate riki se prana. What you are saying is not just ordinary words. In the spirit, we are speaking the answer to the problem. Mysteries, divine secrets. Once you understand that by faith, you pray in tongues, your fire is revived. Because you know the problem, you've spoken the answer. Now the question is, what am I saying? Because with me speaking the tongues, I didn't even know what I'm saying. Go to 4 Corinthians 14. Let's start from verse 13. Because this is where the rubber meets the road, why a fire doesn't burn. Perilous times, great stress and trouble, hard to bear to deal with. The answer to it is spend time praying the Holy Ghost. Wherefore, let him that prays in unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. Let's start from verse. Okay. Says, look at it now. If I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding, I don't know what I'm saying. I don't know. Doesn't make sense. My understanding is unfruitful. Okay? It's unfruitful. That says in verse 13. Let him that pray in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret, because you pray in tongues, you know what you are saying. Doesn't make any sense. But next verse, now in verse 15 now. What is it then? Everybody say, what is it then? Now, what does that mean, ladies and gentlemen? Let me start from verse 13 and then I'll ask you this question. 13, please. Wherefore, let him that pray in an unknown tongue do what? Talk to me. Verse 14. Then go on. Okay. So when you are praying in tongues, do you understand what you are saying? Huh? You understand? You don't. That says, pray that you may interpret. Because you pray in tongues, you know what you are saying. It now says in verse 15, what is it then? What does that phrase mean? Think about it. Verse 13 says, he that prays in unknown tongue should pray that he may interpret. 14 says, if I pray in unknown tongue, my spirit prays, understand is unfruitful. What is it then? What does that mean? What is the solution then? What is the answer? That's what they say. You get it? That's what they say. It says, let him that pray in unknown tongue